It's one thing to have religion. Most people in our day have that. But it's altogether another to have faith in Christ the Lord. And it's a precious gift from God to have faith. A head that understands knowledge that God is truly holy, that He's truly righteous, that He's just, and that we're vile, and that we're unrighteous and unjust. A heart made willing to believe that God is merciful and gracious, and that He'll save whomsoever He's pleased to save in His Son. And a hand which desires to serve the Lord our righteousness and His people without a desire to be noticed. Faith. Precious faith. Today we find a man in this text who the Lord described as having great faith. That's the title of our message, Great Faith. While the well-respected religious leaders of the day despised and rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, we find here a Roman officer, a Gentile, whose name's not even mentioned, fully persuaded that Christ is God, all-powerful and able to save. We begin here in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto Him a certain centurion, beseeching Him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that Thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. I want to look this morning at some characteristics of faith. Now, I don't intend to comment on these characteristics, on all of them. I'll be brief. The reason I say that is because I have 17 comments, characteristics that I see right here. So we're just going to, if you're taking notes, you want to jot them down, jot them down. You'll find as you read through Scripture, these are supported in Scripture. We're just going to look at them one by one right here. We'll begin here in verse 5. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. First of all, faith is coming to Christ. If you'll see here, it says, there came unto him a centurion. He came unto Christ. Luke tells us that he sent forth some Jews who were elders who came unto him. And Matthew tells us he came unto him. Either way, by faith, he came unto Christ. That's who he came unto, whether bodily or not. That's who he was coming to. If we only come to church, if we only come to the Bible, if we only come to the doctrines of grace, if we only come to an altar at the front of the church, if we only come to a preacher, if we only come to a new lifestyle, or we turn over a new leaf and start trying to fly right. If we only come to these things, we'll not be saved. But faith is coming to Christ. It's coming to a person, and it's believing Him. This centurion came to a person. Secondly, faith is coming to Christ with an earnest need. If you'll read there, the centurion beseeched him, saying, "My servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy." He came there because his servant was sick almost to the point of death. And this centurion sought Christ to heal him by faith. Thirdly, faith is coming to Christ fully persuaded that in me is no strength, but persuaded Christ is able. This centurion knew it would be absolutely foolish for him to try to save his servant himself. He couldn't do it. It's foolish for you and I to think we can save ourselves. We can't do it. We come to Christ by faith, fully persuaded that He's able to save us, that He alone is able to heal us spiritually. Fourthly, faith is coming to Christ with no demands. Coming to Christ on Christ's terms, but simply presenting our need to Him. You notice here, the centurion doesn't make a request. He simply lays before the Lord his need. He comes to Christ on Christ's terms. He'll be healed however Christ is determined to heal him. If you and I are going to come to Christ, we're going to come to Christ on God's terms. We're going to come to Christ trusting to be saved the way God says a sinner is saved. And the way God says a sinner is saved is in Christ the Lord. He has fulfilled the law, and He's the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. So if we're going to believe Him, we have to believe that in Him is all my righteousness. Everything I lost in Adam in the garden has been restored in Him. And not only this, but I've been restored to the very righteousness of God according to His works. If I'm still yet looking at my works, I haven't seen His work. Because if I see His work, I'm going to find out mine is nothing. Now these four things right here would probably exclude the majority who profess faith in Christ. So we move on here. It says faith is bowing. Faith is bowing to Christ's Lordship. That's the fifth thing. How did He address him when He came to him? He came to him saying, "Lord, Lord, sovereign ruler of heaven and earth, in whose hand is all power, who is the King." There's a lot of folks that talk about Him being a Savior, or Jesus, or little Jesus, or the baby that was born in the manger. But there's very few people that come to Him, bowing to Him, and confessing Him to be Lord. Faith comes to God, taking our place in the dust, and trusting Him, who can do with us as He pleases. Sixthly, faith is merciful and gracious, considering everyone else greater than itself. He didn't come to Christ for the seeking help for somebody who was a prestigious person. He came to Christ seeking help for His servant, somebody that couldn't do anything for Him. This is what Scripture tells us. Pride's the opposite of faith. Pride's what we are by nature. We love to think we're somebody. And because we know in our heart of hearts we're not somebody, we spend our whole life trying to get all kind of honors so that we can convince one another we really are somebody. But Scripture says this. It says, "Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just, the man that's truly justified, shall live by his faith." You see these two that are opposite. The man that's lifted up is not upright in himself. He's full of pride. But true faith, the man who's truly justified, lives by faith, casting all his care on another, casting all his care on Christ. Anybody that brags about their faith, there's your first sign that they don't have true God-given faith. Pride and faith don't go together. Pride and faith are opposite one another. The man who's lifted up in himself, Luke tells us that whenever these elder Jews came, they bragged on this man. They bragged on. They said he's done many things for our nation. This was a Roman, a Gentile. They said this man's done many things for our nation. He built us a synagogue. But this man didn't say that. This man didn't say that. He didn't brag on himself. They bragged on him. He didn't. He didn't. And that's what you'll never find faith doing. Faith will never brag on itself. Because everything that faith does, actively does, it does because it's acted upon by God. And true faith, a true believer, knows that. Except for his strength, I have no strength. Except for him giving me a gift of faith, I have no faith. Except for him keeping me, I'd go right back. I'd have a mind to go back to what I was saved from. And so, pride's gone. How can I boast as if I didn't receive this? When everything I've ever gotten from God, I receive freely as a gift from Him. Is that our faith? Is that the kind of faith we have? That's what true faith is. It doesn't brag on itself. And then, if you'll notice here, faith is not dissuaded, no matter how bad the situation is. This man's servant was grievously tormented. And Luke tells us, and he was almost about to die. That didn't turn this centurion away from trusting that Christ could heal him. Even though he was grievously tormented and near the point of death, that didn't make this centurion back up any from believing him. He came to him anyway, because he was convinced, persuaded, that he could save him. If he was willing, he could save him. And he believed him. Look here in Matthew chapter 8, verse 7. And Jesus saith unto him, I'll come and heal him. I'll come to where he is and I'll heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Faith, eighthly, in the eighth point, faith is open communion with Christ. Faith has open communion with Christ. This centurion wasn't afraid to speak to Christ. He wasn't presumptuous. He wasn't full of pride when he sent his messengers speaking this to him. But he wasn't afraid to speak this to him either, because he had communion with him. We don't understand God. That's what Paul's told the Romans. Look at Romans chapter 3. This do us good to read this quite often. Every time we get a feather in our cap, every time we win a ball game or have somebody applaud us or anything like that, it would be do good to go right here and read it. Read this. Look at verse 10. As it is written, this is what the Old Testament says about us, and Paul here is telling the Romans, he said, there's none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. Did you think you understood God? Scripture says there's none that understands Him, lest God gives them an understanding. There's none that seeketh after God. Have you sought God? Did you do it on your own? God said, none do. None seek after Him. The Lord said, no man can come to me except my Father which is in heaven, draw him. And the word there, draw, is the same word that's used over there when Peter drew out his sword to cut off the ear of the soldiers. Just that kind of drawing. We got to be grabbed, turned, and drawn to Him, or we won't come to Him. Period. That go against your pride? Is that revealing that The faith I thought I had really is just a bunch of pride and baloney. It's what God says. They're all gone out of the way. The way is Christ, and we're all gone another way. They altogether become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Now here's what God says about us by nature. Their throat is an open sepulcher. It's an open grave. With their tongues, they've used deceit. The poison of snakes is under their lips. That means we can't trust one another by nature. We'll bite one another and we'll kill one another. Well, let's keep on going. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness? Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. What do you see on shirts and on bumper stickers and everything in this day and age? No fear. True. Amen, brother. There's no fear of God before their eyes. No fear of God. That's a description of us. But when God gives a man communion with him, he gives him an understanding. He gives him a heart. God puts him in the dust and curbs his old man and that old nature to where now he's not interested in exalting himself. He's not interested in you finding out about him. But he's considers Christ worthy of all honor. Every bit of it. That's the ninth thing I see. Faith is considering Christ worthy of all honor. This man said, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. This man was a centurion. He had about 100 folks under his command. He was in the Roman army. He was trusted by somebody. This man was a man of authority. He had servants under him. He had done many wonderful things for the church, for the Israelite believer. And they bragged on him how much he had done. Yet in his own eyes, faith says, I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. You're God. You're holy God. I'm a sinner. I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. And then faith is believing Christ to be all-powerful. To believe He's omniscient. That He's omnipresent. And only by believing Christ to be God, only by believing Him to be truly God and man, could he believe that Christ could speak the word only. He said, just speak the word only. Couple of things here. Speak the word only. He's saying, you don't even have to be present to heal him. You don't even have to be in his presence to heal him. And he didn't even give the name of his servant. You know why? Because he believed he's God. You know all things. You know which servant I'm talking about. You know which servant's lying at home sick. And you don't even have to come here in person to heal him. You just speak the word only and he'll be healed. Do we believe that? You believe that God can speak a word and he can heal his people? He spoke a word and created this world. He spoke a word and destroyed the old world in Noah's day. He speaks a word right now and upholds heaven and earth until the day when he'll speak a word and burn it up with a fervent heat and destroy in judgment all those that don't trust his son. As scriptures tell us in Hebrews chapter 1, it tells us this is him. This is his son who upholdeth all things by the word of his power. Is that who your Savior is? Is that who your Lord is? Is that who we trust? He said, speak the word only. You can heal him. You can heal him. And then, faith is valuing the word of the Lord above everything else. I hope you came here with one desire, to hear the Lord of glory speak the word only. Is that why we come? To hear him speak the word. This is his word. There are no miracles today because he's recorded everything we need right here. We got a full revelation of our God right here recorded in His Word. What did we just sing? What more can He say than to you He hath said? We've got it all right here. If we don't believe Him, there's nobody to blame but me and you. He's not to blame. He's done everything to reveal His Son. If we go to hell looking to ourselves and trusting our own way, it's nobody's fault but our own. Nobody's fault but our own. And faith is believing that Christ is life. You know why he came to this, to the Lord. You know why the centurion came there and said, "You can speak the word only. And even though my servant's grievously tormented and near death with this palsy and this severe pain." You know why he came to the Lord? Because he believed that in him is life. He believed him to be the great physician who heals sick and sore sinners. Have you come to the place where you've discovered that you're the servant that's at home, that's tormented, that's vexed, that can't even get out of bed to come to him yourself? Have we discovered that? That's who we are by nature. But this one, if he ever reveals our sickness, we'll flee to him. If he ever reveals our need of him, we'll flee to him. If he doesn't, we'll give lip service to the gospel. We may read the Bible every now and then. Something better is always there for us to do. So we'll go do that instead. But if he reveals what we are and how badly we need him, we'll cast ourselves on him and we'll continue casting ourselves on him for the rest of our days. I sat with a gentleman recently, and he had various reasons for not attending a place where Christ is preached. And I thought about it. My friend had come to the place where he and I talked for two reasons. We were at his mother's home. And he came there to that house because he loved his mother. That's why he came there. And we sat eating a meal. And he came to the table where that meal was spread before him because he was hungry. We come here because by grace we love Christ and we love his brethren. We come here because we're hungry and we want to be fed the bread from heaven. We want to be fed the water of life freely. We want to feast on this feast of fat things that he is. And we do it because we know our sin, sickness, and our own nature. And we know that he is the great physician that heals the sick. And that's why we come to him. Well, let's see here verse 9. And this is what he was getting at. When he said, "You speak the word and my servant shall be healed." And he said, "For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he does it." Faith is beholding Christ's person and work in the things around us, especially the offices around us and in which we're in. This centurion looked at his own office of being in the authority over men, and he saw Christ in that office. He saw Christ as the one who is in full authority. You fathers, when you look at the office of being a father, who do you see? Who do you behold? Who gets the honor and the glory in that office? Our Heavenly Father. As a father teaching our children, the glory of that office is His. When we're at our job, if we have any authority in our job, and we have people that we command, go here, do this, go there, do that. Who has the chief authority to command us to go here and do that, to speak this word or that word? Christ, our King, has that authority. And so when we're raising our children, when we're in our workplace, how do we instruct our children and our employees and the folks around us in our workplace? We instruct them as unto the Lord, knowing that we're standing before Him. He's the authority, but this man saw that. He saw it. He saw Christ in this office that he was in. And faith is believing that Christ possesses all the authority. He used this illustration of Him having authority, and He's saying, so if I have this authority in my lowly position in life, I know You being the King can say the word and my servant will be healed. You can speak and the Spirit will go forth and heal this man. I know He will. And he trusted Him because he saw Him as the authority. Do you see Him as King? Do you realize He's King? Do you realize that He's, when somebody sits down on a throne, it's because they're King. And when somebody rules and reigns supreme, it's a King that does it. He's a King. And then faith isn't puffed up, but understands that everything is at the command of Christ the King. This man says, he says, if I'm nobody and I possess this power, I know You being the King of glory can speak and it'll be done. Spurgeon said this, if soldiers would come and go at a centurion's bidding, much more would diseases fly away at the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a disease that needs to be cured. I'm not talking about you stumped your toe and you want it to stop hurting. I'm talking about the disease of the heart. I'm talking about the disease of the heart. And He can speak the word and create life where there was no life. He can speak the word and create a new spirit and a new nature where there was no spirit that desired Him, where there was only enmity toward Him. Go home and read Romans chapter 8 and find out that the carnal man, the man that's not been born of God, the unregenerate man, is enmity towards God. That means hatred, hates Him. The fool has said in his heart, no God. He may be religious. He may say yes to church and all these other things, but he's saying no to God. Well, verse 10. We're on 16 already. Y'all didn't think we'd get through these fast, did you? I could support every one of these with Scripture, but we'd be here for a long time. So I'm just going to go through these. I hope you see them here in this Scripture. When Jesus heard it, He marveled, and He said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I've not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Not amongst the children of Israel that I came to. The Israelites, the Jew, I hadn't found this great of faith anyway. I found it in a Roman Gentile soldier. Now look here, 16. Faith is manifest to be genuine, honest faith before men by its works. Before men, the believer justifies the claim of possessing true faith by our deeds. That doesn't mean that has anything to do with us being justified in God's room of courtroom. I'm talking about it shows a believer that we truly believe Him. Shows fellow man we truly believe Him. Can't be turned away from Him, but trust Him alone. The Lord knew this man's heart. He knew what the man thought. And the centurion spoke words that said, I believe Him, I trust Him. But his deed proved it, because when he had this need and he had to find someone that would heal him and cure him, he didn't turn to his own way and didn't look at his own hand and his own strength. He went to Christ. That's where he went to. That's the work that's going to justify our faith as being genuine faith before men. Can you be turned from Christ? Can you be turned away from Him to your own strength, to your own way, to your own understanding? If we can, we prove that we never knew Him in the beginning. But if we can't, it proves He is truly our all. And He's given us faith to lay hold of Him. And we lay hold of Him and not going to let go by His grace. Well, 17. Faith is a rare and precious gift. It says, when Jesus heard, He marveled. He was amazed. But didn't He give it? Yeah. But He marveled. He marveled. Not even amongst the Jews had the Lord seen so great faith. out of all the multitudes of people amidst whom our Lord walked on this earth, we find very, very few who believed Him. And to hear people talk in our day, to hear people speak in our day, you'd think faith is as common as dirt. Everybody's got it. Everybody believes Him. You know, the Lord has never revealed Himself in the multitudes in any given generation throughout Scripture, and never says He will. The great lie in the last day, in these last days that is spoken, is not spoken from a honky-tonk somewhere or from a club somewhere. They've spoken from a pulpit. The great lie is when you see everybody religious. Isn't that what the Lord said? He said in the last day they'll have a form of godliness. They'll have a form of godliness, but they'll deny the power thereof. What I'm trying to preach to you this morning is the power of God. That faith that's presented to you, that you can just exercise at your whim, at your leisure, whenever you want to, that's not faith. That's preaching your power. That's preaching your ability. The power I'm telling you about is the power that God used when He raised Christ from the dead and set Him at His own right hand. That's the same power of God it takes to give a wretched sinner spiritual life, to be able to lay hold of Him and believe Him. That's true power. Well, the Lord gives us a lesson here about this. He says in verse 11, "And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour." Now I want you to keep a principle in mind as we go through these last few verses here. What the Lord said to the centurion when He said, "As thou hast believed, so shall it be done unto thee," holds true for the person who professes faith, who really only has false faith, as well as it does to this centurion. As thou hast believed, so shall it be done unto you. Let's look at that. Verse 11. "I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were Israel, of Israel, Jews. Those that He's saying many shall come from the east and the west, He's talking about Gentiles. Those that are going to come to God are those that have been pleased to be saved by His sovereign, electing, distinguishing grace. Is that how you believe? Are you satisfied to be saved by God's sovereign election of grace? To be saved because He on purpose determined to save you? Is that how you believe God? "Then you shall come and sit down." This, as far as I know, there's not anybody in here that's an Israelite. We're all Gentiles. "But you come and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, because as thou hast believed, so shalt thou be saved. It'll be done unto you." Those who come by faith in Christ, looking for rest and believing that all their rest is in Christ, they'll sit down, this verse says. They'll come from the east and west and sit down and rest in Him. "As thou hast believed, so shall it be done unto you." You're looking for rest? Come to Christ, you find it. You looking to work? Stay on your own. You can work all you want to. "Those who come by faith in Christ in these last days shall be received just as those who came by faith in Christ in the beginning." You sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Every sinner that's ever been saved the same way. Everyone. And it says here, "And as thou hast believed, so shall it be done unto thee." Have you come to Christ? Then you shall have Christ. Have you come willing to rest in Him alone? Then rest you shall have. Have you come by faith alone? Then you shall sit down even as the patriarchs came and sat down in heaven. Now, verse 12. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let me just say a word here before I look at this. This is not the children that God purposed to save before the foundation of the world. These are not the children God put in Christ. This is national Israel he's talking about. National Israel, called the children of the kingdom. The religious multitudes in Israel believed that they were too holy to come to Christ. Do you believe you're too holy to come to the Christ I'm preaching today? Like the Israelites, those who are zealous for their religion and full of self-righteousness rather than full of faith will never sit down at a table where Abraham, the father of Israel, and a Gentile dog sits. They said this. This is what the Israelites would say. The Jews would say, you went into men uncircumcised and ate with them. These are Gentile dogs. The person to whom Christ sends his messengers are not the people to whom false prophets minister. Did you know that? We minister to two different people. The Lord sent me to preach to sinners, harlots and whores, and the worst they are, adulterers, vile, God-haters. That's who God sent me to preach to. But if somebody like that stands up in a church or comes to a church in our day and time, those are the ones that will be kicked out. And we just keep on preaching to righteous people. But the sinner who needs it most, we'll kick them out. Imagine a hospital you went to where they only took in well people. They didn't have anybody sick there. That'd be a pitiful hospital to go to if you're sick. But this, just like the Jews, those who have religion without faith, they make profess faith, but they have religion, what they have. And they love darkness rather than light. That's the condemnation. That's what John 3:19. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. This is the condemnation. Lights come into the world. He's the light. But men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They're religious as they could be, but they wouldn't come to the light because the light is going to manifest that the deeds, all the self-righteous deeds are just evil. And therefore, they're not coming to Him. And that's the condemnation. And like the children of national Israel, folks who have religion without true faith, they believe that by gnashing on men, sinners, with their teeth, openly, publicly shaming them and rebuking them, it's going to get them some kind of extra favor with God. Isn't that what they said when they came to the Lord? Didn't we cast out devils in your name? Well, as thou hast believed, so shall it be done unto thee. Have you come by faith in your own self rather than Christ? Then thou shalt have eternity with yourself apart from Christ. Have you come by faith in having separated yourself from sinful, whorish dogs? Then you'll be separated from those whom Christ has perfected forever, for all eternity. Have you come loving your deeds and hating Christ the light? Then darkness you shall have. Have you come loving to cast out, to shame, to gnash on needy sinners? Then as thou hast believed, so shall it be done unto thee. The children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We're going to get exactly what we've asked for. We're going to get exactly what we asked for. If we come by faith in Christ, we're going to have Christ. If we come trusting our act of coming, the fact that we believed or looking to ourselves in any manner, shape, or fashion, glorying in ourselves, we're going to have ourselves. We're going to have total separation from God without His restraining hand upon us and be in a place where whatever comes into the imagination of a sinner can play out fully without any restraint from God. Think this world's bad. Think this world's full of hatred. Just wait for that one. But then verse 13, Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. How could God count my faith as if it were my own? He said, as thou hast believed. He does it by grace alone. Grace gives, grace equips, grace strengthens, grace upholds, grace keeps, grace credits us with having pleased God through faith. And that's why faith doesn't glory in its faith. That's why faith don't glory in sin. Faith knows it is God who makes us to differ. And true faith is amazed that God is pleased with that which God has worked in us. And true faith's favorable look is never upon itself, but always upon Christ. That's what Christ marveled at. That's what he marveled at by this man. Everything this man said put himself in the dust and exalted Christ as everything. And Christ said, I've not seen so great faith. And as he believed, the Lord did it unto him. And this is what happened. His servant was healed in the selfsame hour. He was healed. He believed he would be healed, and he was healed. If you believe that Christ heals you, and he's the only one that can heal you, as thou hast believed, so shall it be done unto thee. You'll be healed. Trust anything else, and you'll stay on that sick bed. Trust him, and you'll be healed. All right.